Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Herring, and my fine wife, Bev, has an appointment this morning. You know, a half-truth will never set you free. I want to share with you absolutely one of my favorite stories about Smith Wigglesworth. One of God's great generals. And by the way, those of you who think, well, it may be too late for you to do anything, Brother Wigglesworth didn't get saved until he was 58. He didn't learn to read until his wife taught him by reading the Bible. Now, Dr. Lester Summerall, as a young man, was living in pre-war World War II London. He arranged an appointment with Mr. Wigglesworth. Dr. Summerall, I heard him tell me, that he put on his best suit, wore an overcoat, a top hat, carried an umbrella, and a daily newspaper to read as he boarded the train to see Brother Wigglesworth. He walked up to the front door and knocked. Brother Wigglesworth opened the door, looked at Dr. Summerall from top of his head to the soles of his feet, pausing only to look at the newspaper neatly tucked under his arm. Without saying anything other than a grunt, he slammed the door in Dr. Summerall's face. Dr. Summerall knocked again. When Sir Wigglesworth opened the door, he immediately introduced himself, indicating that he had an appointment. But Brother Wigglesworth told Summerall that he could come to his house, but not the newspaper. Smith Wigglesworth said, "Well, I believe newspapers where you get half the truth, when you can read the Word of God and get the whole truth." Wow. It's a fact that a half-truth will never set you free. But the whole truth, when properly and scripturally applied, can and will change your destiny forever. Dr. Summerall walked around the corner, threw the newspaper in the trash can, went back to knock on Brother Wigglesworth's door a third time. And yes, they had a great visit and became close friends. The moral of this story: never accept half the truth when you have unlimited access to the whole truth. And frankly, I think that's more true now than at any time in our history. There's a lot of talk about fake news and what's true and what's not. So the thing we have to rely on is the Word of God. And that truth will set you free. Unfortunately, some Christians only know half the truth. They know Jesus commanded us to give up all we have and follow Him, and that's good teaching. I teach that. But there's a second part to that truth, and only when you understand the second part will you really be set free. Jesus did say to give up all and follow Him, but He also said He would give back a hundredfold here and now in this lifetime. Mark 10:29 and 30 in the King James translation. "Verily I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." When you read it, it's there in black and white. You receive a hundredfold return now in this time. Not after you die and go to heaven. Jesus wants you to give all you have for Him. Not only so He can give it back to you. See, but God doesn't want you poor or homeless. He wants you to give up those things only so He can multiply them back to you. Giving everything up doesn't necessarily call for deeding all your property to the church. It does mean giving God control of all your possessions. Very seldom have I ever heard God asking anyone to sell anything and to give up His work, to give it and give it to His work. Now, sometimes He does, but it's rare. See, what we need to do, if when we get to a mental state, spiritual state, where we can release it all, we'll get it all back. When we release everything to the Lord, He promises to return it all to us abundantly. That is the promise from Mark 10, 29 and 30. God made the promise. Now He's waiting for people to grasp His mentality in relation to abundance and stop being cheated out of what is potentially theirs. When we release control of our possessions to the Lord, we do not give up everything. Read Mark 10, 29 and 30 again. It deals with the things we understand, houses, lands, and families. Don't turn a deaf ear to what God wants us to hear in this passage. Do not let Satan lie to you even one more day by telling you it's holy to be poor. In the deepest sense, to be poor means to be powerless. If the devil can keep the saints trembling in their shoes, full of holes, living in rundown houses, barely able to pay the bills and buy groceries, he can stop the spreading of the gospel to the world. Every soul-winning ministry, evangelist, Christian writer, or teacher needs money to carry on effective gospel outreach. So you can see why Satan wants to keep the saints poor. Now, God does not talk about poverty, a poverty gospel in Mark 10, 29 and 30. Nor does He talk only about religious things. He talks about houses and land. God wants each of us to release everything into His control, not so you'll be poor, but so that He can make you far richer than you ever were before. That's God's way of preparing you for your dynamic part in the financing of His great end time harvest. How do you get the good life going that the Bible talks about? In fact, we talked about it 3 or 4 days ago on Rich Salts for Breakfast. Before you can really live the good life, you must focus on the spiritual. Scripture tells us in Luke 12, 22, 23. Luke 12, 22 and 23. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. God wants you, me, each of us, to eat and to have fine clothes. He doesn't want us to be anxious for them. We're to not follow after them. We can't make them the Lord of our lives. We must keep our priorities straight. Luke 12:31, 12:31, King James. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Our lives is more than food, drink, a nice house, and vacations. Our good life starts when we seek first God's kingdom and God's way of doing things. When you literally put God's kingdom first and begin to totally live in Christ, understanding you're God's temple, you can have nice clothes, a good car, and a beautiful home. All of these things will be added to you. It's a matter of priority. God says the good life is your portion. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 and 19. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 and 19. King James Bible. Behold, that which I've seen, it is good and comely for one to eat, to drink, to enjoy the good of all his labor. For it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him the power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. God doesn't want to deprive us of the things we need to live and to live life abundantly. He just wants us to seek Him first. Then all the other things will be added to it. And by the way, seeking Him first is more than just going to church most Sundays. It's more than that. When we begin to experience a good life, we don't need to stop seeking the Lord. as surely as you do, those things that God so richly added to you will begin falling away. There's no question we're living in the end times. We're down to the final harvest. Just look around you. The Church of Jesus Christ does not have enough tools to bring in the harvest or enough storage bins to house it if we did. There are more than 2.5 billion souls out there who are still waiting to hear about Jesus. We don't have the proper funds to send preachers to them so they can hear the precious gospel. Or millions of people going to hell because God does not provide us with the resources to reach them. You know, that's nonsense. They're going to hell because the saints of God have not learned to lay hold of the resources that God's already provided. Yes, God wants us to abound. Yes, God wants us to be prosperous. Yes, God wants us to have control over great wealth. Who else can he trust? Who else will bring in the kingdom of God? It won't be the millionaire, multimillionaire rock stars, many of whom sing songs with satanic lyrics. It won't be the pornographers who make billions of dollars by shooting indecent pictures, you know, of even little children. It won't be the drug dealers who are daily destroying the lives of so many of our precious teenagers and adults, and surely will not be the liquor manufacturers. God wants you, me, us in abundance, because only the saints of God will take the prosperity he gives them and use it as good stewards. Only his children will use the money for the salvation of millions of dying souls. Remember, according to the scripture, the word of God, he has given you the ability to prosper. You can help reach a dying world with the good news if you use that prosperity correctly. We need to circle the globe with the good news that Jesus died on the cross to save us. If we keep living according to our old concepts, our old ideas about money and prosperity, there's no way we'll ever reach the lost. It will take a breakthrough in our lives and in the lives of thousands of other saints before we will fully experience God's abundance and begin to reach the world for him. Now, that's what I call the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go up to the top. Go to HaroldHerring.com, up at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking rich thoughts.